We're glad to be sharing the ministry of Redemption Church with you. Now join us as we receive the Word of God.
Success, guys, is a very, very lonely road, man. Very few people are willing to endure the pain, the sacrifice, and due diligence to be successful. You got trust in the heart of hearts, inside what you're doing, what you believe in, is a worthy cause, a winnable fight.
Bless you, and thank you for being with us today at Redemption Church in Plano, Texas. Thank you, everybody that's checking us out online. Thank you. We love to hear from you. Leave us a comment. Share this thing somewhere. We love that. My name is Chris Fluitt, and I want you to feel inspired today. I want you to feel like you can win today. I want you to be a champion. Will you be a champion today? You think you got that in you? I want you to have that in you. We're in the fourth week of our champion series. We have been looking at the epic story of David and Goliath, right? Week one, we taught you that promise trumps pedigree. Week two, we told you that servants are champions. Last week, week three, we told you that you need to see more than the problem. Got to see past the problem to see a solution. Today, I want to preach to you about the full court press. Look at somebody and say, the full court press. Be awkwardly slow with it, like me. That's how I'm described usually. He's awkwardly slow. All right. It is one of my favorite times of the year. It is March. And March means March Madness. It means that there is a lot of basketball to watch right now. And if you don't know, I'm a sports junkie. Maybe you didn't know that about me. Before I answered the call into ministry, it was my plan to be a sports broadcast journalist. That was my plan. Although my life has gone in a different direction, I am still crazy about sports, especially basketball. Love it. In all sports, baseball, football, tennis, soccer, you name it, every sport that there is an understanding that in order to win, you must put pressure on your opponent. You follow me. You got to put pressure on your opponent. What does that look like in football? What is that play called? It's called the blitz. Thank you, Jeff. Somebody came to preach with this sports enthused preacher today. In football, you have the blitz. You know what the blitz is? The blitz is when you send more defenders running after quarterback, then the offense has to block, right? And it puts pressure on that quarterback. Baseball, pressure features inside pitches. A 90-plus mile per hour baseball zooming past your chin, that's some pressure. And then when you get on base, you can put pressure on that pitcher by leading off that base in order to try to steal a base. That can mess up a pitcher with that pressure. And in basketball, there is something called the full court press. The full court press is an instance of aggressive pressure. Can you say aggressive pressure? The press is a defensive tactic in which members of a team cover their opponents throughout the court and not just when they are under their basket. So every bit of the court, they are playing aggressive pressure defense. Before the ball is even passed into the court, defenders are already scrambling. They're already using a lot of energy. In fact, you have a defender with his arms up. If that defender doesn't have his arms up, his coach is going, arms up. That's one of the number one rules in basketball. You don't know how to play basketball. 50% of it is just have your arms up. Maybe you'll hit something. defense right there, all right? You have a defender with his arms up, and he is standing just inches from the out-of-bound player that's trying to pass the ball in. And he is, before the ball is even in play, trying to defend to keep that ball from getting to one of the other offensive players. You have every other defensive player using a lot of energy to deny the pass to their assigned player. And should the offensive team successfully pass the ball into the hands of their teammates, the press then shifts towards the new ball handler. Two players scramble to stop the advance of the ball. That player that catches it, he puts the ball on the floor to dribble it, and those two players shift to stop him, to stop his progress, to get him to pick up the ball, because if he stops his dribble, he's in trouble right there. All he can do from that point is pass it, right? Or turn it over. That's what they want. They position themselves to trap the ball handler. They position themselves to stop the dribble and to cause a turnover. They do this with aggressive pressure called the full court press. I've come to preach to someone today about the full court press. There needs to be an energy inside of you that says enough is enough. I'm not going to give up one more inch of this court to my opponent. Enough is enough. I'm not going to let you just pass into my house, to pass into my life, to take the ball, to do something in my... No, enough is enough. I'm not just going to guard you near my goal. I'm going to come right out and meet the enemy. Does anybody have a full court press kind of spirit today in their heart? I'm not going to give up one inch to the enemy. I'm going to get right in the enemy's face. I am going to stand my ground, and wherever the enemy is, that's where you'll find me. I tell you, the Church of Jesus Christ needs a little bit of that. Needs a little bit of that. Wherever there is the work of the devil in the earth, the Church of Jesus Christ needs to be on the scene with the full court press. So many people are committing suicide. Where's the church? Where's the church? So many people are falling into a drug addiction. Where's the church? So many people have questions about the Bible, but they don't feel like they can ask their pastor because they're going to be just... Where is the church? Are we just going to stand by and let the opponent pass the ball in and dribble all the way down to this court, into the court, before we decide, hey, maybe we should do something? There needs to be a church in Plano, Texas that says enough is enough. It's time for a full court press. It's time for intense, aggressive pressure. Wherever the enemy is, I will be right there denying his presence and advance. I tell you what, as a parent, I am called to do just that in my house. I'm called to do just that for my children. The enemy has no rightful claim to them. I need to be right there and standing against the enemy. I'm not going to go another day of my life without pursuing my passion. You see, you just let the enemy just kind of come into your court, and he just comes down here, and while he's passing you up, he says, you can't do anything. You're a loser. You'll never succeed. You better press against that. I'm not going to go another day without living out my passion, without living out my purpose, without walking in my anointing and my calling. I'm going to press. How about this? I'm going to press some bad habits until they're completely out of my life. Oh, man. David knew how to press. Look at somebody and say, David knew how to press. Here's the proof, 1 Samuel chapter 17. We're going to read verse 48. As the Philistine, who's the Philistine? What's his name? Goliath moved closer to attack him, David ran quickly toward the battle line to meet him. Verse 49, reaching into his bag and taking out a stone, he slung it and struck the Philistine in the forehead. The stone sank into his forehead and he fell face down on the ground. Verse 51, David ran and stood over him. He took hold of the Philistine's sword and drew it from the sheath. After he killed him, he cut off his head with the sword. When the Philistines saw that their hero was dead, they turned and ran. David pressed on the battlefield. What did the word say? It said that Goliath moved closer. Can you picture a big, slow, lumbering giant moving towards Goliath? You got that picture in your head, right? But now, how does it describe David? He ran quickly. That's what it says. He ran quickly toward the battle line to meet him. He ran quickly, all right? You get this? As David was running to meet Goliath, what did he do? He reached into his bag. We can read the scripture again if we need to. He reached into his bag and he pulled out a stone. He slung that stone and he hit the giant in the forehead. The giant falls down. So I want you to get this picture. He doesn't run and then stop and procrastinate and say, you know, was there something else I needed to do in life? No, while he's running, he's reaching into his bag. While he is pressing, he's getting ready to fire this thing. All right, and what happens after the giant falls in? Then what did David do? What does it say? David ran and stood over the giant. Why? To finish the job. To put it to an end. Does it sound like David pressed?
Yeah.
Does it sound like David had some urgency about him? Does it sound like David had energy? Passion? How about this? Does it sound like he had faith?
Yeah.
Can I tell you something? You don't run towards Goliath if you don't have faith.
Yeah.
Oh my goodness. That's its own sermon. You need to just take that one home right now. All right. David was not reluctant to press, to apply aggressive pressure. Let me tell you, there are times for strategy. You sure better believe it. There are times to just sit down and let's think about this. Let's form a plan. There's absolute time for strategy. And there are times for some wise counsel where you go to somebody that you respect that has wisdom and you say, hey, let's talk this over. Can you help me formulate a strategy to do something? There's time for strategy. There's time for some wise counsel advice. But there are times when it is simply time to press. There are times when it's not time to talk anymore. It's time to go. It's time to run. It's time to reach into the bag. It's time to pull out the stone. And then there is a time where you got to swing that rock and let it go. Don't hold on to it anymore. Let it go. You got to take the opportunity and let it go. You got to fill out the job application, then let it go. You got to fill out the scholarship application and then let it go. You got to find the cute girl with the pink shoes and you got to work up the courage to walk up to her and then you just got to say the words, those are really good looking pink shoes, and just let it go and let the Lord do the rest. That's how I met Sarah, everyone online. Thank you, Lord. There are times when it is simply time to press. It's go time sometimes. I have a question for those who are not experiencing the life that they want to right now. Here it is. Are you pressing? Are you pressing? Are you just standing, saying, you know, it's just not really good right now? You're just kind of standing around? Or are you pressing towards the life that you want, the dream that you want, the calling of God that you feel like you're called to? Are you running at your dreams? Run at them. Go after them. Are you putting pressure on your doubt and fear? I tell you what, you're used to being pressured by your doubt and fear. What if you put some pressure on your doubt and fear? What's something that puts pressure on fear, everybody? Perfect love drives out all fear. You know what puts pressure on doubt? Start talking to Jesus. Doubting Thomas ran right in contact with Jesus and he says, here's the nail pierces in my hands. That dude didn't doubt anymore. All right, put pressure on your fear and your doubt. Are you pressing against your debt? You got some debt problems? Don't feel ashamed. But my question for you is this. Are you pressing against it? Are you forming plans to get out of debt? Are you? Let me ask you this. This one's really simple. Do you celebrate when you make some success in that area? Because I know a lot of people that don't, because they aren't all the way to the finish line, so they don't celebrate yet. I tell you what, nothing puts pressure on the moment, on a situation, than to celebrate the current success you have. It puts pressure on the situation. Let me tell you, it's twofold. It works this way. It encourages you to the next step, but it also builds some accountability in you, because you know you're not done and you can't quit, and you just told everybody about the good things that are happening. Celebrate some things. That'll put some pressure on. Are you pressing when it comes to sharing Jesus with those who so desperately need Him? I tell you what, we've all run into that person and you felt that thing in your heart to share Jesus with them, and at the same time you went, oh, I don't know, you felt a little pushback, I don't know if I can do that, that's really nervous. Let me tell you, pastors feel that. I felt that this week. I was driving around my neighborhood and I saw a man that always walks our neighborhood, and I felt compelled to stop and talk to him. So I stopped and I just talked to him, and as I was talking to him, I noticed he had a cane in his hand. I've never seen him carry a cane before, so I asked him what was going on. He's like, man, my body is hurting. I've got a pinched nerve. I've got these things that the doctors can't fix. And I'm just like, I'm hearing him talk, and at the same time, you know what's going on in my head. It's like, you should pray for him. You should pray for him. And I'm like, calm down. I mean, I don't want to offend anybody. You should pray for him. Are you sure I should do that? You should pray. Are we? So I finally just said, you know what? Can I pray for you? And he said, would you?
Yeah.
Would you? I got out of my car. I went over there. My wife pulled up at that time. She just pulled over and said, hey, we're going to pray for Keith. It's like, cool. And so we just had a prayer meeting right there. But what did he say when I asked, can I pray for you? He said, would you? Let me tell you, there is somebody in your life that is going to have that response when you ask them, can I pray for you? You go do it. You go, would you pray for me? Would you? Oh my goodness. We got to do it, Redemption Church. That's something we need to do. David pressed on the battlefield when it mattered most. Somebody say, when it mattered most.
When it mattered most.
You know, when it mattered most is a tricky phrase. That's a tricky phrase. We think about the last 2 minutes of a game, and we say the quarterback passes are more important at that point in the game, the last 2 minutes. You know, that's when it mattered most. Tom Brady threw that pass. That's what they say. The last shot of a close basketball game. We say that those moments matter most in the sports world. That's what we say. And in our lives, the moments of decision where the pressure is on, I got to make this decision, we say that those moments matter the most. But here is the truth. Every moment matters. Every moment matters. There are not unimportant moments. God created every moment of your life. He did not create an unimportant moment. When Jesus is talking to his disciples, there was never an unimportant moment where he had something to say that didn't matter. He'd nowhere in the middle of his Beatitudes does he say, and blessed are the, oh, don't listen to this one. It's not that important. Listen up. No, every moment is important. Can I get an amen on that? I'll go a step further and tell you that all your moments are equally important. And there might be something in you that just kind of pushes back on that idea. But I would tell you that the time an athlete spends in preparation is as important as the game time. The dedication you students put into reading and studying is as important as the test time. Yeah, you know what it's like to go into that test without all important study time. You know what that feels like. David pressed on the battlefield, but also David pressed before the battlefield. David pressed before the battlefield. David defeated Goliath with a sling and a stone, and you would be incorrect to think that the sling was a children's toy. Picture Dennis the Menace with that little Y-shaped slingshot. Wrong. No. The sling was a military weapon. The stone comes out of the sling about 60 miles per hour, and it travels distances of hundreds of yards. In Judges chapter 20, verse 16, it describes Israel's army. Guess what Israel's army had with them? Slings. They had slings. It says this in Judges 20, 16. It says that there were 700 select troops who were left-handed, each of whom could sling a stone at a hair and not miss. That's how it describes it. These were military men, select military men, using the sling in battle. And they were accurate enough to hit a strand of hair from a great distance. They had archer-like accuracy, sniper-like accuracy with this dangerous projectile weapon, not a child's toy. To develop the technique of the sling took time. Wouldn't you say? Try hitting a hare. Try doing that. Honing the accuracy and power took patience. Someone practiced with great effort and time before the battle. To master anything, it takes some pressing. It takes some aggressive pressure to learn anything and to become good at anything in life. And not just pressing when someone's looking. Some of us press when somebody's around, right? Everybody look busy. The boss is coming in the room. We're going to press now. But to become really good at something requires pressing even when no one's watching. Hours, days, weeks, calendar time of pressing when no one is watching. You see, we all see the sports athlete when they hit the winning home run. We see them when they hit the winning free throw. But there are no cameras set up for that batting practice that happens every day for 3 hours where that batter is hitting the ball, where that player is in the gym practicing their free throws. See, there are no cameras there. There's no cheerleaders then. They don't pump up the music, pump up the volume at that time. Nobody's doing that. We only celebrate in the game because we think that's what matters most. But what matters most is every moment. Pressing every moment. David spent much time out on the backside of a pasture watching sheep, didn't he? He was a shepherd. Some people would have said this was a lowly, unimportant task. Some would say that these moments surely were not as important as the moments where David stood before a giant. But it was in these moments that David pressed before the battlefield. This was the moment where David learned the skill to take down a giant. David needed to practice his skill before he stood in front of Goliath. Do you agree? Now, let's get a little theological here, if you'll let me. Nowhere in Scripture does it say an angel guided the stone from David's sling. There's not a scripture that says, and lo, the angel of the Lord came and grabbed the stone in mid-flight, mind you, spun it around, and pumped him in the head with it. No, doesn't say that. Nowhere in Scripture, it never says that God supernaturally guided the stone to Goliath. Doesn't say that. In fact, no prophet, there's no prophecy, there's no Samuel prophecy that spoke of David being predestined to defeat Goliath at this time, at this place, with this weapon. There's nothing like that. I've heard it said that God supernaturally guided that stone and that it would have been impossible for David to miss the giant. And I get their point, but I've got to say, simply, that is not stated in Scripture. We're jumping to our own conclusion to say that. And here's the real problem with that viewpoint. Are you ready for the real problem? Here it is. The real problem with that viewpoint is that it makes David's effort meaningless and unimportant. If God's going to do everything according to His predestined will and purpose anyway, then you and your practice doesn't matter. Then you and your studying doesn't matter. Then you and your pressing and your effort doesn't matter. Are you following me? Are you with me? But here is what I know about God. God honors effort. God appreciates effort. God loves to see people giving great effort. Look all around your Bible. Jesus said that there are some things in God that only will happen with great effort, like prayer and fasting. That's what he says. The word says, if you will take the effort to draw close to God, he will draw close to you. It starts with your effort. All right? God blesses effort. God makes the promise that if you will honor your father and mother, he will bless you. Right? When you give, it will be given back to you to a greater degree. When you take that effort. How about this one? If you sow, you will reap. If you take the effort to take something, plant it in the ground, water it, get it ready, work over it, sweat over it, you will reap a harvest if you faint not. Does this sound like a God who doesn't love your effort?
No.
Does this sound like a God that doesn't give a care about your effort? The last thing that Jesus does before he leaves planet Earth is he looks into the eyes of his disciples and says, I'm going to need your effort. I'm going to need you to go into all the world and preach the gospel. I need you to preach repentance and remission of sins. I need you to go make disciples. I need you to go. I need you to go. I'm sending you. Does this sound like a God who pays attention to your effort? Amen, it does. Your theology is faulty if you think God does not value your pressing effort. Can I tell you something? That's why your prayer matters. That's why when you press into prayer, it matters. All of heaven pays attention. How about this? Your worship. Today we were worshiping. Were you pressing into that worship? Were you trying to press into the presence of God? Were you trying to give God more glory today than you did last Sunday? Were you pressing?
Hallelujah.
How about this one? Your effort in God's Word matters. When was the last time you opened up the Word of God and even you read it and said, that doesn't make sense. Let me dig a little deeper. Let me go a little deeper. Let me press. It matters. It matters. You shouldn't just come to church today and get a nice little pat on the back going, good job. You're a Christian. Here's a star. Here's a cookie. Like that's how it was in Sunday school, right? You should grow up a little bit, all right? And you should put some pressure on yourself to be a better Christian this week than you were last week. Amen. Can I get an amen on that? That's the truth. It's the truth. Your pastor is included in that challenge. Do you want the supernatural in your life? Do you want it? I'm talking, we have the supernatural God, and all the stories about God are supernatural and they're powerful. Do you want that supernatural power in your life? God is supernatural. That means that God is beyond the natural. When you see the word supernatural, it just simply means this. Beyond the natural. Somebody say, beyond the natural.
Beyond the natural.
Now, this is awesome. God, we want to move beyond the natural.
Yeah.
But just because God is supernatural does not mean that he does not value your natural. Right? You follow me? God does not devalue your natural because he's supernatural. I have found I cannot experience God's supernatural without first expending my natural effort. I can't go beyond the natural until I get beyond my natural. Say that one more time. I can't get beyond the natural until I get beyond my natural. The woman with the issue of blood reached out in the natural and she experienced the supernatural healing power of Jesus Christ. The natural lunch of fish and bread was offered to God and God supernaturally multiplied it. What came first, the natural or the supernatural? The natural speaking of the gospel brings about supernatural faith. What comes first, the natural or the supernatural? I would tell you that faith comes by hearing, the Bible says. How about this one? Maybe you know this story. A natural man named Jesus took on physical nails, was hung to a physical cross, wore a physical crown of thorns. He received physical beating. He received physical everything. He gave all that he had in the natural to give you something so far beyond the natural that it will raise you to life. It will raise you from the dead. It will forgive you of all your sins. It will fill you with the Holy Spirit. Can somebody clap about that? That's some good news. God, take us beyond the natural, Lord. Let me tell you, Jesus came in the natural to bring us the supernatural. And he gave every last bit of his strength in the natural. And because of that, we receive the supernatural. You want to know why you need to clap your hands and lift your hands during worship? Well, it's because what denomination we are. False has nothing to do with the denomination or the style of church we want to have. It has to do with the Word of God. It has to do with expending some effort and some natural so that you can get in the presence of a supernatural God. You need to go down into the physical waters of baptism. Are you sure? I mean, isn't that silly? Isn't that weird? It's physical and it looks finite and simple. I mean, you know where we get this water? From the tap. That's where we get this water, right? It's just good old plain old water. Nothing wrong with it, all right? If the mayor of our city's watching or something. All right, but you need to go down in the physical waters of baptism so that you can rise to a new supernatural life. What comes first? The natural. You need to learn to reach into your wallet and pull out a physical dollar bill and surrender it to God's supernatural promise. How many have done that before? You've surrendered something in the natural, but that is when you receive something supernatural. I was driving in the car today with Will Fluitt, and Will Fluitt is a talker, if you don't know, my six-year-old boy. But he asked us something today. It made me stop. We, whatever was going on, it needed to stop at that moment. He asked some natural questions. He asked, "Mommy, are you a Christian?" He didn't ask Daddy because I think he has his doubts. "Mommy, are you a Christian?" Mommy said, "Yes, I'm a Christian." He's like, "Can I be a Christian one day?" And I was like, "Will, you can absolutely be a Christian. Do you know how you become a Christian?" He's like, "No, I don't know. Can you tell me?" And right there, these were natural questions, but we had a supernatural moment in that car. We had a supernatural moment in that car. Let me tell you how to become a Christian. Redemption Church, here's what I told him. "Do you believe that God loves you?" "Yeah, I believe God loves me." "Do you believe that he sent Jesus to save you?" "Yeah, I believe he sent Jesus to save me." "Will you follow after God?" "Yes, I will." He said those physical words, "Yes, yes, yes." But he made a supernatural decision that day. And we just started clapping. We said, "Will, you just became a Christian." You can become a Christian that easily. It's that easy. God is so good. Thank you, Lord, for speaking to Will. We've been praying for that. David ran towards Goliath. He pressed. He pressed on the battlefield, but that wasn't the first time he pressed. He pressed before the battlefield. Let me tell you about David pressing. Let me bring it to you right here. People who don't press look like they have made the mistake of thinking they have already won. Read that sentence. You just read. People who don't press look like they've made the mistake of thinking they have already won. All right. Did he win when he decided to go out on the battlefield? Did he win when he ran to the battle line? Did he win when he threw the rock in the sling? Did he win when it hit the giant? No. Did he win when he ran over and stood over it and posed for a selfie? Did he win when he cut its head off?
Yeah.
Yeah. Wouldn't it have been foolish to act like he won before he won? Wouldn't it have been foolish to stop his press before the battle was over? Wouldn't that have been silly? Don't act like you aren't in the fight of your life. Don't ever do it. Don't act like you aren't in the fight of your life. Don't just stand around with a giant walking towards you. It's time to press. What if David didn't press? Think about that. What if David didn't run to Goliath and let loose that stone? What if David didn't run up to finish the job? What if he allowed Goliath to get back to his feet? I'm going to tell you real quick, you are in a fight. Yeah, you are. You are fighting for your life. You're fighting for your soul. You're fighting for your family, your future, your marriage, your calling, your purpose, your health, your mind, your job, your finances. Every part of your life is a fight right now. Some of you, that seems all too real, but it is true. It's not a bad thing. It is the nature of this world that we're in. You are in the fight of your life. So act like it. Act like you're in the fight of your life. Let your prayer life act like you're in a fight. Let your worship act like you're in a fight. Read the Word of God and tie every bit of it in your heart like it matters with your life. Because it does. Do not stand around and act like you're not in a fight. People who don't press look like they've made the mistake of thinking they have already won. Philippians chapter 3, verse 13. I'll be drawing to a close very quickly. Look at this verse here. It's by our brother Paul. He says, "Brothers and sisters, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it." Now pause here. We're talking about Paul here, right? We're talking about the dude who's carrying the gospel everywhere. We're talking about the guy who sees miracles and does miracles that wrote more than half of the New Testament. This guy is just like awesome when it comes to being a Christian, right? This guy is amazing. What does he say here? "I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it." What is he talking about? This life in Christ, to really win, to really have victory. He's saying even at this stage of his life, after he started countless churches, after he's written the Word of God, after he's won so many people to the Lord, he's saying, "Listen, guys, I have not yet even taken hold of it. But one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead," verse 14, what does he do? I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me in heavenward in Christ Jesus. He says, "I'm straining toward what is ahead. I am pressing towards my goal. I've not yet received it." Let me tell you, there are too many Christians that act like they've already attained, that they've already won the goal, that they are already heavenward in Christ Jesus. It's not the case. You have not won the battle yet. There is still a giant out in the middle of Valley of Elah. Somebody needs to press. Somebody needs to press. "Oh, but brother, you don't understand. My soul belongs to Jesus." That's great. There are over 6 billion people on the face of the planet. Get to pressing. Get to working. There are people all over Plano that don't know Him yet. Get to working. Get to working. Amen. You need to press today. You need to press today. Look at somebody. Say, "You need to press today." Go ahead, do it. Look at somebody else. Say, "You need to press today." Need to press. As I draw to a close, I just want to bring this home to you. What do you need to press against? You need to press against spiritual enemies. Oh, you one of those churches that believes in like, woo, spiritual things? Yeah, we're one of those churches that believes in spiritual things. Yeah. You got a problem with that? I got a problem with you not believing that. Yeah. We're one of those churches that believes there is a real devil out there and he wants to kill, steal, and destroy you. We believe it. Yeah. You need to press against spiritual enemies. So if you got this spiritual enemy that wants you, what are you going to do about it today? Are you going to press against that? You need to press against your own flesh. I tell you what, far more damaging than the devil has ever been is your own flesh. Right? Your flesh wants to do one thing and one thing alone, sin. That's what your flesh wants to do. It wants to sin. What if you pressed against your flesh today and said, no, I will not dishonor God with my body. I will glorify God with my body. No, I'm not going to sin. Next time the devil or temptation or something, your flesh wants to fall back into sin. What if you pressed against that and said, no, and just because you brought that up, I'm going to go read my Bible. And just because you brought that up, I'm going to bow my knees and press in some prayer towards God. How dare, that's how you press. You either fall into it or you press against it. And when you press against it, that's where you defeat it. You need to press against your habits. You need to press against your lifestyle. You need to say, enough is enough. I'm not living this way anymore. There are people in this room. You're unhappy. I press against that right now. That's not your life. The joy of the Lord is your strength. I press against it. In the name of Jesus. Enough is enough. Who is going to press with me today in this altar? You know, we invite you to this altar, and we never want to pressure people, but I want to challenge you today. Not me pressing you. I want you to pressure yourself. I want you to pressure yourself in the first 2 feet of this altar. What happens in the first 2 feet of this altar? This lets us know you want us to pray for you, and we're going to press against problems in this altar today. These altars are open. Why don't you come today? Why don't you press? Why don't, wherever you are in your spiritual life, why don't you pressure yourself further to go further? Are you just going to stroll to this altar today and stand around like you aren't in some kind of battle? Or are you going to come and press? Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you for every person that's in this room right now. Lord, I thank you that they are called by you and they are loved by you. In Jesus' name, Lord, help us to press against the powers of darkness. Help us to press against our flesh and help us to press ever more closer to you, Father, in Jesus' name. I pray for every person in this room right now, every person watching online, get a hold of their hearts, shake up their hearts, God, in the name of Jesus. Let them go further than they've ever gone before, God, in Jesus' name. You watching online, you call on God right now. You press right now in this moment. Come on, Redemption Church, let's talk to you.
For more information about Redemption, look us up online at redemption-church.com. We want to hear from you, so be sure to connect with us on Facebook, Twitter, or even our anonymous question text line at 214-856-0550. Thank you for joining us, and have a blessed day.